of an interesting thing, isn't it? I heard a guy named Jerome K. Jerome, and it actually, he could, any, a lot of people I have known in my life, possibly including myself, could have said this. He said, "I like work. It fascinates me. I can sit and look for it, at it for hours." Well, one friend asked another, "I remember your brother was trying to get a job with the government a few months ago. What's he doing now?" And the friend said, "He's not doing anything now. He got the job." Well, we're moving right along. One woman jarred her workaholic husband, saying, "Honey, if you kill yourself with overwork, I might just have to enjoy all your hard-earned money with my second husband." Thank you, Amy. The fact is that most Christians are too busy to be close to God. I think we're even too busy a lot of times with Christian stuff and church stuff to be close to God. I have often had people come to me and with two complaints. One is they come and complain to me that the church is not doing enough. And many times that is the truth, that they are not doing enough. I guess it would help, Dennis, if I turned on my mic. There we go. But other times, people that complain about the church not doing enough are activity addicts who want to stay busy so that they can justify not having time with the Lord. And there are the other complaint is that the church is too busy. I have had twice families who were good, active families in my churches to leave the church because they told me they just couldn't keep up. They just couldn't keep up. There was so much going on, and everything that happened, they were expected to be in the middle of, and they just couldn't keep up. And so they left to find a less active church. Folks, understand this. The church has two jobs. Write it down, kids. Two jobs. One is preaching the gospel. That's our primary job. The other job, after people, we have preached the gospel, and people have come to know the Lord, discipling Christians. That's the primary job of the church. Now, obviously, missions are involved in that. Any kind of mission work that we do should involve one of those two things, though. This is what Jesus commissioned us to do. Yes, we do other things, and that's fine. But often, other things keep us too busy to do the most important thing for the Christian, and that is growing closer to God. And this morning we want to begin a short sermon series about getting closer to God. And if you feel, and you're here and you say, "Well, I'm already close enough to God," you're not. You're not. All of us need to be closer to the Lord Jesus. And we want to look this morning at two things that the Bible says prevents our being close to God. The first one is busyness. And if you would like, you can look in Ecclesiastes 7:29. I'm going to read it in the King James Version, then I'm going to explain it. It says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." Probably during the King James time that made sense. But let me just give it a little different slant on it. We were completely honest when God created us, But now we have twisted minds. Twisted minds. Several years ago, I spent a little time grading standardized tests. And SAT test. And one of the things I had trouble with, and they had trouble was I could not twist my mind enough to grade those tests the way they wanted them graded. I remember one of the questions was something like, explain how the church has hurt Western society. And so these kids had to come up with these explanations and explain how the church had hurt Western society. Well, I had trouble with that. I had trouble grading those because I couldn't twist my mind and wrap my mind around that idea that the church has hurt Western society. And many times that is the case. We watch things on television and we see things that are so twisted. You watch the news, you watch just regular television, and you see things that are so twisted and you just can't wrap your mind around it because things are twisted. What does that mean? Another version says, God made people decent, but they looked for many ways to avoid being decent. People who are busy with the world's business look for ways to avoid being decent because that way they can get ahead in the world. The world breeds discontent. You ever watch advertisements? What are advertisements? Every advertisement you watch is an attempt to breed discontent. But they want you to be discontented with what you have so that you will go out and you will buy something new and improved and better. We want to buy that new car, that new truck, that new phone, that new gun. We want to have new and better internet service and phone service and all of that. Everything new and improved. New. And folks, many churches have gotten into the act. You know, we were on vacation, and as we do, we try to go to church. And so I began to look online, for churches. I wanted to go to my old church that licensed me in Hattiesburg. We were down in that area, Emmanuel Baptist Church. But they had a weird time, so we couldn't do that. So we wanted to go to some of the others, and they had all of these different kinds of services. I couldn't figure out what they were and all of that. Anyway, we ended up talking to a couple that we had met about their marriage relationship and didn't get through to 10:30, and everybody met at 10:30, so we ended up the first time, I don't know how long, on vacation, we didn't go to church. But in any case, it's just so different because every church you see wants to try new things, and I'm not against that at all, as long as the purpose is to preach the gospel and disciple the brethren. But if it's just to show off, I don't know. Any church that would seek to make you discontent with something to the extent that you always want to be spending money to improve has been bought into that worldly way of doing things. Many churches are given even this way about church staff members. I had a former church that kept calling me, and I've shared this. They were discontent with their pastor. And by the way, that's a fairly common problem, probably even here. But, this particular guy was a good man. He preached the word. He was a talented musician, good guy. But they didn't like his personality. And I finally started telling people that, they just kept on. There's about three or four people had called about it. And I said, here's what you need to do. Just pray that God will kill him. Just pray that God will kill him and his entire family. Maybe they could have a wreck. Pray that they would have a wreck and all of them would be killed. And then you could have your darned way. You could get your person you want and you will be happy. Well, they didn't listen to me. They ran him off anyway. But in any case, the problem was they were discontent. And discontentedness is worldly and keeps you away from God. It says to God, God, I do not trust you in this situation. Discontentedness makes us become, write this down, busy in worldly pursuit in our attempt to become content. And busyness prevents us from being close to God. Well, there's another thing the Bible says that will prevent us from being close to God, and that is envy. That's over in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. How did Satan lure Eve and Adam away from God? Well, over Genesis 3:5, he says, the serpent said, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The serpent knew Eve wanted to be like God. And so he said, if you'll eat this fruit, you will be like God. Eve was envious of God. She wanted to be like God. And the serpent said, he lied. If you'll eat this fruit, you'll be like God. So how does the world lure the Christian away from God? Write this down, by tempting us to be like the world. You know, we see the gold, we see the glitter, we see the beauty and the stuff, and we're envious and we want it and we want to be like it, and suddenly we're no longer close to God. How many of y'all watch American Idol? Okay, one person is honest. Thank you, Peggy. You know. Okay, so I've got a couple others that are being honest. Everybody's not going to raise their hand. I'll raise. I watched the last 4 or 5 weeks, or, you know, I don't watch all of it. But, you know, I've noticed this, that often there are good, clean, Christian contestants. And that's true. And what do they try to do on the show? What do? They dress them up, if they're a woman, to look like a little woman of ill repute, and if they're a guy, they dress them up to look like a little, what we used to say, butch, like that, and they try to make them sing ungodly songs, and they try to, you know, and they try to make them worldly. In a few occasions that hasn't worked, they've got out of the show and they went on and they stayed true to their faith. In some occasions, that hasn't happened. But the problem is, if you are seeking to be like the world, you get in trouble. And I worry about people like that, that do that. And because they want what the world offers, and they're envious of the world. You know, by the way, any sort of envy does that. James says in James 4:4, you people aren't faithful to God. Don't you know that if you love the world, you're God's enemies? And if you decide to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Now listen, you cannot be close to God if you're his enemy. You just can't do it. If you make yourself an enemy of God by pursuing worldly things and worldly stuff and worldly whatever, you cannot be close to God. It makes you an enemy of God. So these are two negative things, busyness and envy. So what, as Christians, can we do to get closer to God, you know, about these things? The first thing I think we need to consider is to reorder and simplify our private lives. Reorder your life, write it down, by making your daily walk with Jesus the priority. For years as a Christian, even when I was in the ministry, for years, I would go about my worldly life, teaching school, doing whatever I was doing, writing sermons, visiting, doing whatever it was that a preacher or a pastor or a youth director or a school teacher or whatever was supposed to do. And if I had time, I would tack on my Bible study time, personal Bible study time, and prayer time with the Lord. It was not until I understood that my worldly time should be tacked on to my walk with the Lord that I began to have real freedom and growth. So understand that. When you spend your time with the Lord and that's your priority and your prayer time and your this and everything about that, when you focus on that and you make that your priority and everything else is not your priority, then your life is in the right order. Your life can be simplified. And I'm not going to tell you that every day that's the truth because I'd be lying. But I will tell you that most of the time it is. And when it's not, I struggle. So reorder your life by making your daily walk with Jesus the priority. And secondly, simplify your life by realizing you do not have to do and have everything that the world has for you to do and have. You really do not have to have everything you see advertised on television. Kids, you know what I'm talking about? Do you know that in the middle 1960s, advertisers found out an amazing thing? Kids watch cartoons on Saturday morning. How many of you kids watched that cartoons on Saturday? Even my age, when you were growing up, that was the big dudes, cartoons on Saturday. And when the advertisers realized that, what did they begin to do? They began to target those children who watch cartoons on Saturday morning with all of this stuff that they had to have. And I remember that. I remember seeing all this. I remember the Rifleman rifle. Y'all don't even know who the Rifleman was, but the Rifleman rifle, man, that thing was, you put a roll of caps in that thing and you could pump that thing, man, you go through a roll of caps in 30 seconds. It was great, you know, and it worked, you know. But, oh, man, nothing would do but I could get that Rifleman rifle, you know. I didn't need that thing. It didn't last, you know, probably a month after I got it, it was over in the behind my bed and nobody even knew where it was till we moved out of the house, you know, 15 years later. But in any case, that's what the world does. It targets us, even us as Christians. Understand you do not have to have all that stuff and you do not have to do everything. You just do not have to. And church, we need to realize that too. We don't have to do everything every other church does. What we have to do is what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. Remember the two assignments that the church has is preaching the gospel and the discipling of Christians. And these are important. Everything else is frou-frou. It may be fun and certainly not sinful to do fun things in church. I like doing fun things in church. I don't have a problem with doing fun things in church. But if it begins to complicate your life and hinder your walk with Jesus, we just don't need to do it. But I have to say this because unfortunately, there are so many people when I preach a sermon like this and they say, well, what in the world is he talking about? I don't even know what this walk, what is that walk thing he keeps talking about? What is that? Well, we sinned Every one of us. The Bible says all of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short of God's glory, and all of us, because of that sin, are on the road to hell. It says the wages of sin is death, hell. We've all sinned. Every single one of us. Some of us have sinned more than others. But it has nothing to do with anything, how much you sin or how little you sin. One little bitty sin will send you to hell. And after that point, you know, it doesn't matter how much you sin. But Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to pay for all our sins, our little sins, our medium-sized sins, our great big sins, our sins that we think are unforgivable, the sins that keep coming back in the middle of the night and haunting us. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and paid for those sins. And if we are willing to turn from our sins, that's called repentance, to Jesus and call upon His name, He'll save us and cleanse us, it says, from all unrighteousness. Does that mean we're never going to sin again? Of course it doesn't. But it does mean, even when we do, they're paid for. And we can confess them and be cleansed again and move on. But if you have never come to that point where you have accepted Jesus and you're walking with Him, you see, the moment you accept Him, you begin a walk with Him. And it's hard to understand sometimes. You know, it's like being born. You begin a walk with your mama or your daddy when you're born. You're a baby. You don't know. You don't think anything about it. You know, how many of y'all remember how many times your mom and daddy picked you up and changed you? We don't remember that. You remember how many? Okay. I'm just kidding. But seriously, we don't know that. We just know they did it. And as we grow, we begin to become aware of things, and we grow more and grow more. And before long, we're walking along beside our Father holding His hand. And the more we go, the more we grow, the farther we walk with Him, and the more we grow up with Him. And that's what life is for the Christian. And sometimes we let go and we run off down through there and do our own little thing, and all of a sudden we realize we're away from Him, and what we have to do is come back to Him. That's called repentance, and grab His hand, and He'll always be there for us. He ain't gonna send us to hell or anything like that. He's already paid for all our sins. But you got to make that decision. If you never made the decision to walk with Jesus, to ask Him into your heart, you need to do that today. You need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And perhaps you're here and you're a Christian and you struggled and you've had all these, you know, issues and things, you know. My goodness, I sure have, you know, in my life. And perhaps you just need to pray and say, Lord, you know, I want to come back to You, whatever that may be. And I encourage you, you know, a lot of times the world gets a hold of us and we got so much stuff going on, we don't have time to even think about the Lord. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. And you need to get out of some of that stuff, or He'll take you out of some of that stuff. If you're a Christian and you have a walk with Jesus and you know that you wish to be closer to Him, simplify your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I lift up this time of invitation. I pray that if there may be someone here that does not know You as their Savior, that perhaps they'll come and accept You. If there are Christians here who are struggling, I pray that they might come and kneel at the cross here and just pray and ask forgiveness and repent. Lord, whatever the needs are here in this room, I pray that You would meet them, because you're God and you're here and you're big enough. You can do anything. We just turn this time over to You in Jesus' name. Amen.